This is the Sounding Board Podcast with Hutchie and Damo. Thanks to Drinkwise. Stay safe, and if you're choosing to drink, be sure to drink wise.
Nice to have your company on the Sounding Board, episode 26, series 5. It's for Drinkwise as always. Stay safe, and if you're choosing to drink, be sure to drink wise. When I work with you in the early days at the Footy Show, Hutchie, there were a couple of people in there who were very seasoned TV people, and they advocated the use of the T's when it came to broadcasting. Just put something out there and then talk about something else for a little bit longer, knowing that people really want to delve into the tease component. Should we tease this morning? I think I know you well enough to know you want to go just straight for the jugular.
Let's go, Damo. People are going to be throwing things at the radio.
Good morning to you. Tuesday morning this week, as always.
Yep. Can I
Episode 26, Series 5 of the Sounding Board for Drinkwise.
And can I just say off the top, as the publisher of the Sounding Board, that I give you my full consent for you to talk freely about whatever you would like to today. So I want to put that on the record. Yeah. And equally, I'm asking you please not to mention a few things relating to me. I know that you'll play ball on that, and so I'm removing elements of my life from the discussion today. I'm making that an official edict to you.
Which parts might you be referring to, Hutchie?
But in turn, to reassure you and your independence, Damo, I'm giving you full permission to talk about you today.
Journalistic independence.
Now,
are we kidding ourselves in this industry?
Well, there's a bit to unpack here, as Gary Lyon would say. And this area of journalism and media has been a bit of part of our journey for 4 years doing the podcast. So when an issue lands, first of all, it's just great pleasure to be on the least side of the weekly issue and you being in the firing line today.
Up until Sunday night, you were the lead issue, Hutchie, after you stoushed with one of Australia's most all-time famous basketballers.
Yeah, I've gone from killing football to being the face of Krispy Kremes in 4 days, and now I'm off the hook because you.
But this is not my problem.
You're in the middle of an integrity issue.
No. How am I in the middle of it?
And they are going to come for you and AFL.com continually, News Limited, because this is like.
Hang on, you've mentioned News Limited. Am I allowed to then refer to them? Because I need to.
This is a sweet spot issue for them and AFL Media. So, first of all,
yep.
How do you feel about. I'll ask all the questions that my Twitter feed's blown up with. So
No. I'd want you to ask the questions you want to ask, because I'd rather deal with your side of it than the people out there, because they don't know out there.
How do you feel about Mitch, your protege, being stood down?
Yeah, look, there's layers to this, and I don't know whether we want to go straight to that part of it or do you want
to
build up to it?
Just give us the honest human reaction.
It was an unfortunate event for I still think, Hutchie, I keep saying young journo. He's not a young journo. He's an established journo who's as good as anyone going around for what happened this week. So to answer that part of your question there about Mitch Killery, I'm very close to Mitch. As you know, I've known him for his entire journalistic life. I rate him as highly as anyone. And to see him go through this, and as you know, Hutchie, when you are the focus of it, as Mitch was, it's never easy. And I feel for him.
Yeah, I know you feel for him. We all feel for him. The Twitter world felt for him. But
have you texted him?
That's a given that you feel for him. How did you feel about the decision as the AFL's chief
reporter? Well, there's layers to it, Hutchie, and I'm glad that there is a resolution to it now, because hopefully all these people making comments, including a lot of journalists, have all calmed down now and realised that it was a situation that had a level of complexity that if they chose to pick up the phone and ask a potential question around it, would have realised that it wasn't as simple as this phrase.
Was it the right decision?
Yeah, it was.
It was the right decision
to reserve
for standing down.
Standing down, he didn't get stood down. He was looked at over the action of the tweet, which we'll get to. Actually, we'll get to all of this. But any organisation has the right to do what it wants to do and sees fit. And I'd rather look. Let's talk about this journalistic independence before we get to the specifics of Mitch.
Well, there's a lot we'll do on that, but I want to ask you just specifically on Mitch.
Yep.
You think it was the right decision to stand?
It was the right decision for an organisation to reflect upon what he did. Yeah. Because Mitch himself.
That would surprise a lot of people. It surprises me
Mitch,
a little bit.
Again, Hutchie, but what I'm not going to do, and this is why I probably wanted to start this conversation with a different order. I get it. I mean, let's go in your order. But There's layers to this, Hutchie, which I'm not going to reveal here either, because they're private, they're confidential conversations. There's layers to this story, as there are in any story. It's never ever as simple as A or B or black or white. There are so many layers to this, and Mitch touched on this himself in this effectively the statement that was released last night, and on his own words in his own podcast AFL Exchange on AFL.com.au, where he addressed it really, I think, succinctly and aptly, whereby he was unaware of an arrangement to not name partners involved in.
Were you aware of that arrangement?
I had chosen not to name partners.
No, that wasn't the question I asked. Were you aware of an edict not to name the players?
I was aware of the heightened sensitivities around naming players.
That's not the question I asked. The question is, were you aware that it was a policy not to name the players?
Yeah.
You were.
Yeah.
And how was that articulated to you?
But that will be about the only yes or no answer I'll give you when it comes to specific.
How was that articulated?
Hutchie, do you want to broadcast all your. I'm not going to give up confidential conversations. A writing to this or any other matter. I never have. And you and I have had confidential conversations.
That's a pretty simple question.
Well, to answer your question, I was aware.
Yeah.
I was aware. Was Mitch? Do you want to get to that part of the question?
Yeah, was he aware?
I would think by what he said himself, no.
Should he have been aware and should you have made him aware?
Mitch is a senior journalist.
Should he have been made aware that that was the policy of the business?
Should he have been made aware that that was the policy of the business? Well, again...
Is it a reasonable policy to make?
I think a business running the competition like this one is, with all the stresses and the fragile nature of this, and this is what gets to the core of this. Let's go straight to the complexities of it, Hutchie. The stresses that are attached to running the business right now, the footballers themselves, the wives, the partners, even the kids, the officials at the footy club, the officials at the AFL who make these decisions, as you know, we are, as an industry, one situation away from it being shut down for 2020.
Yep.
And that is not being overly dramatic, Archie. So you go down the layers. There were four clubs last week before Nathan Buckley, the fifth transgressor on issues, that were sanctioned on the Friday. Mitch obviously tweeted or retweeted, reposted an already public photo relating to it in a time frame in which he shouldn't have. That doesn't make him a bad journalist, by the way. He's an outstanding journalist.
No, I was just sitting there. We didn't get a chance to talk yesterday, but I know how pig-headed you can get at times, and I say it as a compliment. And I was wondering which way you were going to go on this, whether you were going to be, you know, Tim Watson called in the morning for you to strike or stand down or lobby on Mitch's behalf, and then
I actually heard what Tim Watson said, and I've been made aware of it beyond that as well. Tim Watson gives a lot of advice to a lot of people. He gave a lot of advice to Western Football Club people during the drug saga, and how did that work? So what would he know about?
That's a low.
What would he know about what a journalist should do in that situation?
Well, I would think his journalistic knowledge is as good as any non-journalist that I've ever worked with, to be honest.
He's read
the news for 25 years, for starters. That's a reasonable credential.
He's read the news, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
So, okay, let's deal with that part of it. What did he say that you want to talk about?
No, he suggested yesterday morning that he wondered whether you would lobby on Mitch's behalf and stand down or strike or... I can't remember the exact terminology, but it was in that sphere.
Okay, so how would that work out? So I then do what he wanted me to do and other people on Twitter want you to do in that moment in time and put your chest out and feel good about yourself and say, I'm with Mitch, I'm standing down. Is that what you think he's asked me to do?
Well, I think half the town was kind of calling for that yesterday. Like there was this...
Yeah, but half the town doesn't understand it, Hutchie.
There was all these hashtags going around and Twitter handles and...
Now, you know this. You know this better than anyone. You know this better than anyone I know. By the time it's public, matters public, do you reckon it's been dealt with internally to a very large and significant degree? So when
you don't have to get defensive with me. I'm just answering the question, the questions everyone wants to know.
Yeah. When Tim Watson says that at whatever time he said it,
I used him as an example of one of many people yesterday.
Yeah, but they don't know.
Who wondered where you'd sit on
it. Well, I wouldn't take the advice of Tim Watson if that's what you're asking, Hutchie. And when these things go public and people say, you should stand down, or that is the worst thing you can do, because that is not my nature, by the way, and you know that to be the case. So my support
for
Mitch...
I knew you were going to dig in, and I just didn't know which side you were going to dig in on. I knew you'd have a staunch view.
My support for Mitch, Hutchie, was done behind the scenes. From the moment I was made aware of it, when I came off air myself on Triple M on Friday.
I'll ask you the last question, then I'll take this hat off, because it's not my cup of tea anymore, but I'll ask it anyway. Your critics would say that the independence of AFL media took a hit yesterday on the basis that it is campaigning on being independent.
Yep.
Clubs say that it can – the clubs accuse it from time to time, not my words theirs, of hiding behind its independence. And then when it's tested like this, its independence is revealed as
– Has it ever been independent? Has any organisation ever been independent? So and for the people at the Herald Sun, Hutchie, let me say, who are listening to this, because that's what they do. They listen to it and they hope that I say something that they can deliberately misconstrue. There is no
– Oh, you're fired up.
There is no independent media organisation.
So you concede that it is a little compromised in its
absolutely
tone of
absolutely, I do. Yeah. But I don't purport it to be anything else, and that's the other thing. We have devoted chunks of this episode dealing with media conflict, Hutchie. We've put our hands up ourselves 1,000 times. Back in series one of this sounding board, which is now into its series five, we devoted an entire episode to our own conflicts. Okay, so this is a 4-year conversation you and I've been having effectively on a weekly basis, where there is no independence in media. You own a basketball club as a media organisation. News Limited and Foxtel are the same organisation. Channel 9 shares an office space with The Age.
Yeah, News own the Brisbane Broncos. Like
News own the Brisbane Broncos. Yeah, let's just remove this notion. There's some people, Hutchie, in the past 24, 48 hours who have convinced themselves that the notion of media independence is as noble as the doctors trying to find a vaccine for COVID-19.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. Like some of the voices who were crying from the rooftops work for some of the most compromised businesses
seriously,
that I've ever seen.
I've never seen more hypocrisy, and I've never seen people in the public get so worked up about something, and nor people in the media get so worked up about something that doesn't exist.
And so I'll give you
media independence does not exist, Hutchie. That's a statement of fact.
I'll give you my view because you clearly don't want to ask for it, so I'll just give it to you anyway.
I want you to finish asking me what you want to know.
I don't want my questions being interpreted as my opinion either. So I'll give you mine. I feel that the common sense prevailed in the end, but I do feel that the stand down was a little bit of an overreach at the AFL end.
Yeah, that's a fair opinion, Hutchie.
I do, however, feel that the fundamental issue of what Mitch did was best argued out on the platform he chose to do it on. So as a media owner, I'd have been highly uncomfortable and have had a significant issue with Mitch if he had worked for me and done that on his Twitter account, which is where he did it. Like this argument somehow ended up that it was on AFL.com. It was away from the platform, right? And I've been talking about this for a fair while. Like he should, if he had that story, he should have filed it to the AFL news desk. And the news desk then could have been able to make an opinion on what it chose to do from there.
Yeah.
But he didn't give them that opportunity to make a game day decision. And I'm not saying that they wouldn't have still gone the same way. They may very well have. And there was clearly some lobbying in the background and the deal cut with Richmond, which was a blanket AFL deal. But he didn't give his employer that opportunity. And I get crook on our guys when that happens all the time because I say, look, when you publish it on our platform, at least I can make the decision and be held account to it, whether it's the right one or the wrong one. When you run rogue, which is in essence a small version of what he did, and I would say this too also – it's not his first rodeo on that, on posting on social. Now, he is a fantastic...
What else has he done? I'm not aware of this one.
But he and others of his age group, we've talked about a lot, get caught a little bit in the one-upsmanship of social, and they do publish things regularly and repeatedly that belong on their employer's platform or not at all.
Yeah.
And he would have been able to give himself better protection by filing it, because then he could have said, hey, listen, why didn't you file my story? I came to you in good faith. You've employed me to be a journalist.
Yep.
I present the story and the editor can make an opinion. Because he put it on his social, really, I think, just aimed at, you know, showing the others that he had the picture or rather than actually telling the public. And I've been that guy. I have.
And this is where, Hutchie, the public doesn't ever get it, despite though everyone out there thinks they are a journalist. In Mitch Cleary's context, he's as competitive and a media beast as I've seen, okay? And that's why I love him. I love him as a bloke. I rate him highly, and you know that. And to your point, the distribution of it online as opposed to under the actual AFL.com.au platform per se is an interesting one. It's another conversation we've had regularly on this platform, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's a fantastic young journalist. Like I was
remove the word young, Hutch. He's just a fantastic journalist.
I was really flat when he left here because you
didn't talk to him for 18 months.
No, I was really flat about it. We loved him and love him. He grew up here, and I've tried to get him back since.
Have you?
Yeah,
I did know that.
He's a great talent. If he had one area to work on, would be his over exuberance on social, and he's not on his own in his 20s on that front.
But Hutchie, again, you can't. Mitch is his own man, and you don't want to curtail that competitive element to him either.
And so let's assume that he does that. He files the story. Then the editor, like, things are moving in real time. Everyone's under pressure. Perhaps there wasn't a chance to tell everyone, hey, we've cut a deal here with Richmond. I don't have any problem with the deal.
Let's go to the real time. Let's go to the Friday night. I was on air, Hutchie, so I wasn't aware of it actually in terms of whatever happened with the conversation.
I don't have a real time. If they're trying to get a complicated situation sorted with Trent and Brooke Cotchin, and then I'm okay with the AFL. The AFL can use its platform as it sees fit, and I'm okay with that. And for those who are criticising it, this happens on editors' desks all day, every day.
That's what they do. There's even
deals,
a scenario.
There's deals done on deals, on deals, on deals. And I think people, we're just bold enough to tell you that.
Yeah.
On this podcast.
That's what we do on this podcast. Hutchie, there's even a scenario, and I've thought about this probably in the last, I don't know, say let's go 12 hours, where Mitch could have done what he did in a time frame in which the sensitivities weren't as heightened as they were. He may have been able to do what he did on Friday night, on Saturday morning, and for there not to have been one person to have got caught up in it. The people who got worked up over it at that point in time may not have in a subsequent time frame.
Yeah, I think just file the story to your employer and let them make the decision and go and bang the desk the next day and ask why if it didn't run or understand better why it didn't run. You might not always agree with it. I was forever arguing with editors on things I had that were spiked and on the other side of the fence as I am now, I reckon about 90% of the time I don't get the chance to see it before it's published in our platform on 95% because of the speed of time. And there's times where I really take a deep breath and cringe and understand that someone's going to ring me and have a crack at me about it. And I'll say, hey, it's journalists telling stories. But there might be 5% of the time where I say, look, have you thought about ringing that person for a reaction?
Yes.
And doing the right thing and giving everyone their view and understanding it better.
But I never
try and stop the story. But,
no.
But where I do get crook. Yeah. Is when it goes on another platform other than one I own. Because I don't have any control then. And you get blamed for it. So the AFL have been blamed for this, even though it didn't run on their platform.
Yeah, and again, I'm not going to talk about the conversations that have been had with and far many more around me, Hutchie, but I think what you've touched on there is a valid point.
And just on the overreach. So that's my only view, is the AFL could have got him on bulk billing, not on the act itself. It could have been the firm, right? He didn't actually need to put him up in lights and say, we're suspending him for doing a story we didn't like. They could have said, we've asked Mitch to take a week off and consider whether he should be using his own social account instead of filing things for AFL.com. Everyone would have been happy.
Let me put you into the chair of the person. And I still, I'm not going to, whoever made that decision on Mitch, would you have done the same thing as a media proprietor?
Oh, if there'd been a deal done, and he had gone and written something on his social, I'd have called him in and said, Mitch, we love you here.
Yep.
Go away and have a think about your actions for the weekend, because you need to be filing these stories for us, because there's sometimes things at play in real time that you might not be aware of.
Yep.
And the easiest way to fix that is to
streamline it.
Is to actually file the story for bat them up all day long.
Yeah.
And we can have the debate.
Yeah.
But don't run rogue on your social.
And
that's what I would have said.
The reference to the agreement.
You think that's unfair?
No, I don't. And I've been exposed to your world and other editors' worlds in past, as you know, business or journalism business. But Hutchie, the line about the agreement, now it was referenced in the official press release too, which was made public before all this started. So
I don't feel they needed to do a deal on that, but I respect the fact that a deal was done, right? So,
but you are aware, more than some at least, and maybe more than most, of the sensitivities around these hubs, these families in the hubs, the decisions, the stress.
I've learned through the pandemic is
the carnage that's going on in some instances.
Every day, someone is angry about something that they may not otherwise be as angry about if we weren't in a pandemic.
Yep.
Right? So you're dealing with human emotion at its heightened.
Yep. Yep.
Best or worst.
Yep.
And people feel how they feel. So, I don't have a problem that they cut a deal. In the outside, you don't feel like you see the need for it. But there's really complicated things going on. There's a lot of pressure.
Yep.
Everyone's working in real time. Everyone's venting.
And that's the complexity to which I was referring. Yep. But just, are we going to sign off on this now?
Well, I'm just going to say, look, if you don't think that there's, let's agree there's conflicts. Like James Murdoch stood down on the weekend from the board of News Corp. Big story, right?
Didn't see that in the Herald Sun in detail.
Nor should they, right? So I'm...
No, but why then do they attack AFL.com.au about media independence and then not go deep into one of the big media biggest media story of the week, the year?
I'll tell you why. If I was them, I don't have a problem with them taking aim at you because you're a competitor and there's a chance to score some points. That's their lot in life.
No, if I was them, I would have done the same thing because, they crave the reach that AFL.com.au's got.
You don't need to be petty.
And they also know that Mitch Cleary is a better journalist than
you don't need
news journalist than their own
you
stuff.
You don't need to be petty. And then with James Murdoch, like that's a big story for other people. And everyone else, other than news, is going to give it disproportionate coverage, right? They're going to go, oh, my goodness, news to James. He doesn't believe their editorial content. And then, like every competitor is going to give it page one, page three. If I own news, if I'm Rupert, and James resigns, I'm sending a note to my staff saying, let's give this one a wide berth. And I don't apologise for it for a minute. Like, you know you're going to cop it hard the other way. Why would you actually get involved in it yourself?
So hang on. Just on saying that, are you saying that News Limited is not independent?
News businesses.
Because they're not. Are you saying that, though? Are you saying it?
News businesses.
I'll say it. They can quote me because I'll be still taping. News Limited is not independent.
Well, nobody is. But I would say that they have been as independent as anyone has ever.
Oh, now let's move on because now you've got me over the edge with News Limited. You've got me. What did it take?
It was always the one that was going to land, wasn't it? I was just looking for a gap. And
now just how many ways can I have been misconstrued in what I said there? How do you reckon? How many? Because I'll be trying to.
Fortunately for you, you're not really at clickbait level. No one really cares.
Unlike you.
You don't seem to move the dial.
Well, that's actually not true, Hutchie. But unlike you, Hutchie, who on Saturday.
You're not interesting enough to drive traffic, unfortunately, Dave. Well, so there'll be a lot of our colleagues that'll be very interested in what you had to say, but unfortunately the mainstream, not so much.
All right, well, let's move on to you then, Hutchie. Are you finished with me?
I think so. I reserve the right to come back on it.
Andrew, no. We're going to sign off on this now, Hutchie. Andrew Bogut.
I was disappointed in getting called a strike with you yesterday. I was thinking how I would have handled it. Do I support you?
I want to talk about this. So how's that work in the eyes of the people who called for me and however many left, of the few that are left, unfortunately, at afl.com.au, to stand down? How's that meant to work? What, we all just walk in and stand down, do we? Hey, we're not working today. How's that work?
I've been through a couple of strikes in my days, in the early days, as Channel 7 and whatever. And they do happen on little things like this.
As I said on that matter, you do your negotiations behind the scenes and confidentially.
Not to story insert, Damo, but I went through a similar...
Because you're going to put yourself in a story.
...suspension for 2 weeks at Channel 7 back in the day.
I wanted to get there. You called...
Over journalistic coverage. Same
Colonial
issue.
Stadium.
Death Valley. Same, almost a replica issue. It said something that the company didn't like and was stood down. And what I would say to Mitch, he's a bit older than when I was when I went through it.
How old were you?
I was 23 or 4.
He's 26.
Yep. It is unbelievable what a shot in the arm it gives your career by accident. Because so, I was generally, I mean, you think I'm hated now. I was hated,
You're
hated
not
then.
Hated, Hutchie. Andrew Bogut hates you. We'll get you to that in a minute.
I was universally hated then. But one thing that unites journalists is this fake crusade for independence. And everyone supported me the way they supported Mitch yesterday. And because
I think Ivan rang you.
Because journalism is like this family where you can smack each other. You're an idiot. Then someone else outside calls you. Well, don't call any of us an idiot. We all just defend it. We all can blur with each other till the heart's content. But the minute someone else goes for us, oh, hang on, they're striking at the heart of independence here. So I went through it.
Yeah.
And it gives you. Mitch has got a whole new level of profile and respect now than he had Friday, and he'll be able to use that for niceness rather than evil.
But it's time limited, though, isn't it?
He's got a little run here, Damo. He's got a little run to ride the surfboard of this.
And this will
get yourself a new suit, Mitch. It's showtime. You've got 6 months here on this.
This will fit into your views of me at times, Hutchie, too. But I did warn him at one stage yesterday, after it all been dealt with, and we could have a bit of a joke about it, that do not fall for that overall solidarity of journalism right now. And the backslapping and the well done.
2 weeks from now, they'll be trying to run you out of town.
This morning.
And unfortunately for him, too, the other thing, which I've obviously been through, is there's not a lot of good file shots of him around. So the only shots of him are as the work experience kid holding someone's bag, or he's having a beer at a pub saying cheers to the camera or something. Mitch, you've got to get yourself a new suit. You've got to find yourself to get at least a couple of shots. You're going to have a profile for a few months, and then you've got to hope that shot runs for another 5 years, because you're going to have a big career, and you've got to try and leave behind these kind of, you know, daggy guy at the party looks that are running around town at the moment on the pictures. And I've been through it, so it's just fatherly advice.
So does he need an image makeover? Is that
he
what
needs
saying?
A makeover from here, don't we?
But it depends on what narrative the other media that's going to run these pictures wants to run, because you've got very nice-looking file shots, Hutchie. They only choose to use the bad ones, as they did yet again on Saturday.
He wasn't at the point of having any file shots of him, so he's only one of three. Have you noticed that? He's one of three or one of four in all the shots. He's always been someone's plus one in these photos. But now he's got to get his own shot. And there's a chance here. Mitch, the ages are 26 to 30, very important. Set yourself up, brand-new bag of fruit.
You are an idiot.
Don't get photographed with Damo, because you're going to get caught up in his negativity.
No, that actually would be a really bad double-ended false shot.
Get a nice shot of you interviewing Dangerfield or something.
Get out all your party line gags. Get out all your sport line gags. Get them all out. I'll give you another 30 seconds, and we're going to move on. Let's get to what would have been the lead item for our program today, Hutchie. Andrew Bogut. Yeah. Making a reference to bloody Krispy Kremes. All the back. I heard you and Pickers on Saturday, and you made a... I heard it, Hutchie. I heard the context. It was a friendly little jab at a man that you're having regular friendly jabs at. And clearly he then was made aware of it, and he just went the jugular. I feel, Hutchie, and God knows he hates me as well, in a very untoward way.
He didn't clearly hear it. And we have a Twitter feed going during the show, as most radio do. When I saw someone who had heard it tweet a message to him saying I'd had a go at him, which didn't happen. Yeah. I thought, oh, this will take 5 minutes and this will come back with as a receipt. And sure enough, it did. So anyway, that's his lot in life. He does, as I said the other day, he doesn't like me, which is fair enough. It's his prerogative.
That's it.
It's totally, everyone's entitled to like who they do or don't like in life.
So the Herald Sun then picked it up, and I don't think it was lead item, but it was prominent, Hutchie, for a day, in fact, 24 hours.
Good fodder, you know.
Andrew Bogut and Craig Hutchison locked in bitter war of words.
Yeah, when you're locked in a bitter war of words, generally you have to have contributed to it. I don't remember.
Oh, you started it.
I don't remember actually.
You started it.
Well, some might think I did, but I don't recall starting it. I had a little...
The war of words has erupted.
And then if you read the reaction to it, we've been attacking each other and all sorts of things. Anyway,
Basketball champion. This is under Fiona Burns' article. Andrew Bogut has blasted Craig Hutchison on social media, mocking the ratings of his radio station and predicting it would fail under his reign after the Croc Media boss joked about him being, quote, overpaid.
Yeah, that's what he said, Damo.
Yeah, just reading it for those people who aren't aware of it.
I think most people are across it. Yep. As I said, and you think, I think you know I mean this. That's it. Anyone can think what they want about anyone, Damo. This is what I choose to think about.
I know you've always taken that view, Hutchie, but was he out of line? He was, in my eyes, but I want to ask you, was he out of line in referencing what he referenced?
Andrew is wonderful.
Could he have fired back without getting personal?
Andrew is wonderful for Australian basketball. I am heavily invested in Australian basketball. Australian basketball is better.
Was he out of line going
when
he is playing
and on the court? And let's hope that that happens again this summer and for many summers beyond.
What would you say if we weren't recording right now?
The same thing. He's his own man. He doesn't like me. That's his prerogative. I'm not here to twist his arm or influence him otherwise. And I really hope that he plays this summer and beyond, because he's great for the sport, and it's a delicate time for the sport. We've got a fantastic opportunity and a lot of threats.
Yeah. Right?
And if you put that in context, we've had an issue at MU, like many people have in the community, with COVID-19. Our thoughts are with everybody. And it's a time for Australian basketball to help each other and come together.
Is he playing this year, by the way? I know he's not playing for the Kings, I don't think, is he?
Well, I don't think it's been... he opted out, which it doesn't necessarily mean he's not playing.
Right.
Because that's his right to do that under his contract. But I don't know whether he will or won't. And it's not my concern. It's for him and them and whoever else may hire him. But all I can say personally is I hope he's playing because the sport's better for it.
Yep.
And that might sound a bit commercial, but he's great for the sport and he's his own guy.
All right, it's been a bit heavy to this point. As I was driving...
You wouldn't get offended. No, you shouldn't get offended at anything anyone says about you anyway. Who cares?
Well, I'm dancing around the topic, actually, but he raised the personal side of it with you, which I thought was really ordinary. Really ordinary. But you didn't have an issue with it?
No. Doesn't worry me.
Okay. Well, I think that part of it's ordinary. I reckon go as hard as he wants and smash you as hard as he wants. But I reckon there's a line, and I reckon keep it above the line. And he wouldn't care, and he won't even care what we're saying about it, by the way.
But it's a tough world out there. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Everyone's done it a bit tough in their own way and venting in their own way. So I don't have a problem with anything anyone says.
Now, as I was driving in here today, Hutchie, I noticed as I was waiting for the car to warm up that our man, The Rock...
Yes.
Has purchased with his, I think, his business partner and is it his partner?
I'm glad you asked this because I was hoping we could squeeze this in towards the end of the show.
Of XFL, which is the subsidiary or of the very distant second to NFL in the States. The reason I raise this, Hutchie, because we love The Rock. I love the series Ballers that he's done about the college football
real
system.
Real life version of Ballers we're about to see.
It is, isn't it? Yep. And the thing about him... Again, you know him more than I do, Hutchie, because he goes back to WWE days where I didn't go back that far with him. But he doesn't seem to ever make a mistake business-wise.
Yeah,
he's the biggest star in the world.
The way he's built his brand and nurtured it and protected it is second to none. And the shot in the arm this will give the XFL and by extension, I feel the NFL is like he's an NFL. The brand of football, not just the XFL, took a significant step forward this morning. Such as his persona. $15 million was how it read. There's financial backing behind him, which I assume he's got a risk-averse position. I was trying to think how this deal would work. Vince put $200 million in and was bailing out.
Vince McMahon. Yeah.
Vince and The Rock still very close.
Right.
It's been Vince's baby twice. I read on the weekend that ESPN weren't going to honour the television deal if Vince were out. Last year they got average crowds of sort of 19,000 venues and some up to 30. And it was a great first season, for half a season, given the pandemic shut it down. On the surface, it feels like they're probably going to burn a lot of cash. It sounds like, though, he's protected from that in the structure of a deal. It'd be, the size of his persona being brought to the table on this is a significant boost. And it's got a genuine shot for me.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's... one of those things you look back...
Well, it didn't even last a season last year, did it?
Yeah, but he's got enough gravitas to drive the engine behind this. There's enough people around him. And if he has got capital backing that runs deep, and those guys that have invested in it with him are long-term guys, right? They're not, there's better work in a year or out type guys. Like they're the guys that burn cash for the greater good along the way, which I assume is why they've just paid that's a round of drinks, that price. Like,
right.
It's a round of drinks, that price on something...
I'm worried about the NFL season, Hutchie, too.
You're worried about everything, Damo.
Well, have you seen the amount of players?
You've sanitised six times during this podcast.
Well.
And that's
a bad thing?
No, but you're naturally a cautious, conservative guy.
No, I'm trying to do what I can do to eliminate this scourge of this pandemic. I'm allowed to...
Which I respect and encourage. I'm just saying you are conservative by nature and you think most things are – you think the world's coming to an end when you get up and relieved at the end of the day when it hasn't.
Have you noticed what state we're in at the moment? We're officially in a state of disaster, Hutchie, which we have never been in. I think there's reason to think things aren't great at the moment, okay?
Things aren't great at the moment.
No. And all I said there was I'm worried about the NFL season on the back of, before you cut in, the back of several – dozens now of senior profiled players who are pulling out. Because they don't want to be locked in combat with people breathing on them as those big front and back men do.
So the XFL was the second tier.
Yep.
And college is all the players that perhaps...
Well, there's not going to be college season either, is there, from what I'm reading?
Well, that feels the most problematic. But let's assume it's not the same NFL season as we used to. But it still will be watchable. There'll still be a version of it that you'll want to follow along. I think the NBA have done a pretty decent job. Have you caught much of that?
Yeah, well, I'm not into it. I follow it, as in who's leading the standing, so to speak, but I don't need to watch it. But they've quarantined well, haven't they, in a way similar to the AFL, haven't they?
I think they've done a pretty decent job of getting their season up and going and creating a version of it. These are times that we will look back on.
Do you know if any of those international groups, NBA, NFL have tapped into what the AFL has done, or even NRL for that matter, because the way the timing of the return of AFL and NRL was before the states got their sports going again.
Yeah, I think like everyone, the first 2 months of this were shock, angst, horror, despair, and then people moved into problem solve, solution, how it's going to look. You know, the NBA could look like this for 3 seasons. Who knows? We don't know. We just have this mythical date in our heads about a vaccine, and we're all just clutching onto that notion. Who's to say that we're not living a version of our lives for 2 or 3 years from here?
It could be 2 or 3 years, couldn't it?
And people are fundamentally pretty tough, Damo, and pretty flexible. Now, we've made some poor decisions as a community in Melbourne.
Yep.
I feel desperately sad and sorry and hit hard by those who will be out of work or our businesses out of work for the next 6 weeks. It's going to be a really tough little time here.
Because a lot of them won't come back.
But won't
be able to come back.
But I do feel the human nature finds a way and people adapt and find a path forward. It's going to be hard. It's going to be lots of arguments about things that are disproportionate. We're all going to get a bit angry and a bit jumpy. But stay the course. This is the world will be great again. Mm. It will. We just got to find.
And we can also find some fake wars like media independence just to sort of keep us amused.
Well, I understand that too. It drives attention. You've got to stay on your feet.
Yep.
By the way, I reckon, I sound critical of the 20-something journos who were all up and flapping their arms yesterday. I was one of those in my 22. So I was convinced that journalistic independence was a thing till about the age of 30, I reckon. I was a crusader like most of them.
I might have got to 33 or 4 or 5.
I was a crusader like most.
Yep.
And
it doesn't exist.
I do think for journalists, if you firmly believe in the story, belt the desk as hard and loud as you can trying to get it published with your publisher, argue your case, recut it again and again and again until it's acceptable. And if you get beat, well, understand why.
Yep. And move on, because no one else actually cares.
And probably don't judge your employer from time to time as to why.
Yep. All right, time now for this.
On the sounding board, it's our question of the week for social status marketing. Social media marketing is more important than ever. Visit socialstatus.com.au, make sales or your money back.
As always, a range of questions offered this week, Hutchie. We've chosen Lee Marriott's on Twitter. Can you confirm what impact the players' wives and families staying in the hubs is having on the salary cap? New South Wales, Queensland, SA and WA families almost nil. Are Victorian clubs taking families into account in salary cap disclosure? As under tax law, it has to be a fringe benefit. Lee and Hutchie, you might have a greater line of sight on this than I do, but no, it's not part of the salary cap. There's been special exemptions given. The AFL is effectively covering the costs of these hubs, and when it comes to the fringe benefit side of it on the taxation system, I don't know how that works, but no, there's no one is going to be disadvantaged by being forced to hub with families in this current situation.
And they've done an amazing job of setting this up. I think they've probably been on the generous end of families, to be honest. I don't think it needs to be as aggressive as it has been. But
I'd agree with that.
I think that's noble, though.
I agree with that, Hutchie, but I don't know where you draw the line either. So what they've done is the right thing.
And the funny world they've got themselves into now is when the hubs first started, it was a prepare to go there, last case resort. You know, I think if you surveyed 600 people in the hubs versus coming back to Melbourne now versus staying in Queensland, you wouldn't get it. It'd be a punishment to have to come and have a hub in Melbourne now.
Yeah.
Like it's gone from being something you didn't want to do to something you don't want to come back from pretty quick. Like there's going to be 16 of 18 teams in Queensland by the end of August, I think.
So there's already effectively 14, aren't there?
Yeah, Freo and West Coast will end up back there.
For the finals?
Well, for the last four rounds in the finals.
Yeah.
The Perth's going to get shut down. And Adelaide and Port will fly in and out.
Yep.
And, you know, realistically, you look at the challenging 6 weeks ahead in Melbourne, stage four restrictions here, curfew 8 o'clock at night.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's
business
out.
Is not open.
Yep.
And you compare that to Queensland, where they are living fairly, reasonably uninhibited-ish lives.
We're still one cluster away from it being, again, more fragile than it already is, aren't we?
We are, but they've done an incredible job of running away from the problem.
All right, that was our question of the week for social status. Social media marketing is more important than ever, Hutchie. And if your business needs social media marketing, Social Status is offering 50% off to any Sounding Board listener. You'll find links, Hutchie, to Social Status in the show notes that relate to this product. Am I getting better at that?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Have you been following the Ellen DeGeneres blow-up? And I say blow-up because I haven't been following it closely, other than knowing that there is all sorts of accusations being fired off publicly now about sexual harassment. And according to this report here on BuzzFeed, dozens of men and women who work behind the scenes have been saying that the office is a place where sexual harassment and misconduct by top executives and producers runs rampant.
Yeah, look, it's an issue that is just grows legs by the day, doesn't it? Like, it's one of those issues that is very Hollywood. When more and more details come out, I think there was some background work done by an organisation. And yeah, it's
what happens from here, Hutchie? Because it's been a hugely successful program that she's run now for, is it 20 years? I've never watched it, by the way. It's not my go, but it's hugely successful, isn't it? What happens to Ellen DeGeneres from here?
Well, it's one of those storms where the brand of the program has taken a hit, and whether it can withstand that is really, we're at the crossing point of that, aren't we? Like, the next month is going to be, if it continues and the allegations keep coming forward, and versus, you know, at some point they'll get risk averse, the publisher, I think.
Yeah, right.
What do you think?
Yeah, well, that's my very superficial take on it too. I just wondered if you managed to delve deeper into it than I have, because it's not, as I said, my...
What happened to our reverse? What happened to our reverse press conference? Weren't we going to do that?
No, we were, and Jane and I spoke last night.
How much time have you spent on this?
Well, Jane, do we want to do it next week or the week after? Jane and I discussed this.
You don't have a date yet. You've got to put it out to the audience. You've invited everyone to.
What do you want to do it next week?
They've all chimed in and said, "Yeah, we're happy to do it." And then now you haven't decided when we're going to do it.
All right, we'll do it next week.
Well, I think the least you can do with the audience.
I was trying to look after Jane Hutchie, who I don't know how much you pay her, but it would not be enough, no matter what it is. I was trying to look after her, because she's doing everything here, and there's a situation that unfolded in Victoria this week which was pretty awkward for people who work in these environments.
We can leave it a fortnight then, that's fine. Just be honest with the audience.
I was trying to be behind the scenes, as always, confidential, with private discussions I have.
Can Mitch Cleary join us? I'm going to get a suit from Sam & Co. for him. We'll get a few snaps
made.
Right.
Let's lock in a date. So are we going to do it on a Tuesday, Joan? All right. I want to go to my calendar now, Hutchie.
Can you bring Mitch?
I'll bring Mitch. So
Sammy Callis from Sam & Co. will get him a lovely bag of fruit.
So today's August 4, is that right, as we speak? Yes. Next week is August 11. Okay, Tuesday, August 18 will be the date of the reverse press conference, the second Sounding Board for Drinkwise reverse press conference.
I'll need to vet these questions beforehand.
You will not be vetting anything.
I'll
tell you what, I'm going to bring two guests. I'm going to bring Mitch Cleary and Andrew Bogut.
Yeah, great. Can we get can you turtle your way into a JB appearance as well? He'd be a great one to have on the reverse.
He costs a bit of money even for those things.
He wants sheets, wouldn't he? Yeah.
He needs sheets. All right, that was so August. Just, what do we say? August 18, Tuesday. Jane has already received registrations of interest, Hutchie, on this reverse press conference, and as such, an official appointment will be made via Jane at on all the Crook Media social media platforms, and also the email option that there is there as well.
Just before you finish, and only because I only heard as we were walking into the studio this morning, can I send on behalf of us, me and you, our deepest sympathies and condolences to Eddie Maguire, who lost his mother last night. It's horribly sad and a tough time for he and the family, and it's devastating enough when you lose a loved one at a normal time, let alone in a time like this when it is even harder to mourn them. So our thoughts and deepest considerations go to the Maguire family on the sad loss of Ed and Ed's mum.
Yeah, and another person we're both close to too, Hutchie, in Luke Darcy, who also lost his father in the past week as well. And obviously those two gentlemen host the Triple M Breakfast Show here in Melbourne, and it's happened in a time where it's just about impossible to grieve the way you would like to and normally would be able to.
And everyone out there who's doing it a bit tough, hang in. Just grit your teeth. Find a way, look for little wins in every day, and hang on, it'll be okay. We'll get through this, Melbourne, as a community, and to everyone else in the state, don't get complacent, because it can happen there very quick, as we've seen in Melbourne, and please make the most of the better times that you're in there at the moment as well.
All right, that was episode 26, series 5 of The Sounding Board for Drinkwise. Stay safe, and if you're choosing to drink, be sure to drink wise.
Maybe I should just review the full transcript of this before we publish, just to make sure that we're independent.
Media independence.
Independent.
Thanks for listening to The Sounding Board podcast with Hutchie and Damo for Drinkwise. Make sure you find us on Facebook and Twitter at Sounding Board EP. Hit the sign up button on Facebook to receive our weekly email and subscribe to, rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't Shoot the Messenger with Caroline Wilson and Corey Perkin. Great local tips, books, screen food, recommendations, the week that was.
It's just disappointing that this is just an extra issue the AFL and the clubs who are trying to keep the season afloat have to deal with. Imagine if somebody went out and caused a COVID outbreak in one of the hubs.
Everything was going well until my dad died when I was 14, and I think anybody who out there who has lost a parent at an early age possibly understands this. Your whole world just comes smashing around you. So I was pretty good at being a teenager up until then.
I really enjoy and appreciate and no longer take for granted, to be honest, the people I work with. I was a perfect young person. I was incredibly selfish. Never, ever thought about tomorrow, only today. Pretty good at being young.
For Red Energy, 100%. Australian electricity and gas. Become best friends with Caro and Corey. Subscribe and listen today wherever you get your podcasts.